Such a warm introduction. This is the first time I've had the privilege, I hope it's not the last time, I have the privilege of sharing God's word here at the pier. And I like you already because I noticed in the greeting time there were lots of people hugging. And I think that's a powerful testimony of what we have in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Wayne, for the wonderful, yes, the wonderful warm introduction. And we want to make sure everybody gets a Bible. I have notes here to make sure that I stay on task.
our minister doesn't.
Right.
It's okay.
I do not exaggerate when I say that one of our favorite churches for sure was North Holland. And it was a very special congregation. There were some wonderful people that reached out to us and always made us feel like we were just more than missionaries that we see every, 4 to 6 years. It's great, Wayne, that you're here. I believe in this work that you're doing here, and it's beautiful to be here. My claim to fame is that I am Stephen's father. But I'm blessed to be the father of 7 children. Beth and I had 7 children in a period of 12 years, and we still do. In fact, we have 2 more because we have Hannah Joy, who comes to us through marriage, and we're so blessed by Hannah Joy. And I say Hannah Joy because we have a Hannah that we birthed, Hannah Marie. So we love our children, and they're very, very special to us. And we spent, all 9 of us were on the mission field in Estonia. Does anybody know where Estonia is? A few do. It's the northernmost of the 3 Baltic republics of the former Soviet Union. I had the privilege to do ministry in Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, the 3 Baltic republics there. It would be on the northwest edge of Russia. Everybody knows where Russia is, so that gives you an idea. And then we spent 8.5 years in the Middle East in a place called the Kingdom of Bahrain. And that also was a wonderful place, a great climate. I really do miss the hot weather of Bahrain. Lots of sunshine. And after serving, about 25 years with RCA Global Mission Services, we've been back about 3 years. And I'm now serving in a half-time role as pastor of prayer and discipleship at Hopkins Community Church in Hopkins, Michigan, where we first served right out of seminary. So it was kind of neat to go back there after all of these years and meet a lot of new people, but we still have a good number of friends that we knew even 30 years ago when we were there. Right now, we're in a long study through the books of the Bible. We're in Genesis, and I'm fascinated with the lives of the patriarchs, because when we read about the fathers of our faith, we come to realize that they are far from perfect. In fact, I like what Doug Stewart, an Old Testament professor at Gordon-Conwell, said. I went there before I finished at Western Seminary. He said, the only hero in the Old Testament scriptures is God himself. When we look at the lives of the patriarchs, we see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And 2 things about that. The Word of God hides nothing. It exposes everything, which is one of the proofs that this is an absolutely inspired Word. Because nobody would make this stuff up and make themselves look this bad. It's really true. So the Word of God is honest, and I praise God for that. We're going to read a story about Isaac and Rebekah and their family. Now, they were the couple that waited a long time to have children. Actually, they wanted to have children, but they just weren't coming. And then when they finally did have a breakthrough, they got two. They got twins, Jacob and Esau. Two parents with two twin sons, and both parents show clear favoritism. Okay? This sort of becomes a case study. Genesis 27 is where we're going to go. But before we go to Genesis 27, we're going to go to the Proverbs and see some really important principles of wisdom that the Lord gives us about parenting and about being parented. Because this, friends, is one very dysfunctional family. It really is. You have Isaac and you have Rebecca. It's sort of like a case study. We're going to do a case study this morning on how not to parent. It's true. Well, yeah, take notes. So honestly, though, we can learn just as much from the negative examples as we have from the positive examples, because it's the Word of God. And it's very informative. How not to parent and how not to be a brother. We see both here. Earlier, God had revealed to both parents that the twins that were in Rebekah's womb were a little bit unusual. And what was unusual is, even in the womb, they weren't getting along. Okay? And what the unusual prophecy that came from God himself was this. The older, will serve the younger. The older will serve the younger. Well, that goes way against social norms. Because if you're Jewish, it's almost automatic that that firstborn is going to be very precious. They're going to be in place to take the birthright and receive the largest blessing. And that's just the way it is. But you'd think, because God gave the prophecy, that that would settle the matter. God is not limited by social norms at all. And if God said it, well, that should be the end of the matter, right? Well, not necessarily. God calls the shots. He's not limited by social custom. Yet even though it's very, very clear what God has said, Isaac clearly favors Esau, the firstborn. And to make things even, Rebekah clearly favors Jacob. Now picture that dynamic, and you've got their family. Earlier in the story, before we read, we're going to read about the blessing, but earlier in the story, by a couple of chapters, Esau had acted very foolishly, showing really improper priorities. Because one day he came in from the fields, and he was so hungry, he allowed his younger brother to talk him into giving up his birthright for a single meal. It's really kind of sad. As the Bible says, Esau despised his birthright by selling it for a single meal. That's what's going on. Now, there's a difference between the birthright and the blessing. And the focus of today is going to be on the second one, on the blessing. But does everyone understand the difference? The birthright has to do with inheritance. As soon as Isaac would die, Esau, being the firstborn, would get a double portion than Jacob. I mean, that's how the birthright works. It'd be a double portion for the firstborn. It also marked where they were in the family. In other words, the family position would be passed on to the one that receives the birthright, and he would be the leader of the family. The blessing, on the other hand, is something that usually happens at the end of a father's life, when he passes on the blessing to his children. The blessing has to do with imagining and prophesying or speaking forth a destiny for your children. And that's the focus of this morning. I want us to start by considering the power of a father's words. And really, I could say a parent's words, because mother's words are very, very important as well. We parents are primarily responsible for passing on our faith, our values, and our biblical worldview onto our children. Proverbs 1:8. I'll let you look at that a minute. Proverbs 1:8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. See, we're ultimately responsible to transfer our values. Our children will learn more by our actions, but also by our words. They'll learn things like respect for proper authority. They'll learn things like fearing God, what it means to fear and reverence God. How to work hard and manage our property and our finances. How to maintain right relationships with other people. It's up to us as parents to pass that on. And that's especially true for us fathers. It's up to us to transfer our basic value system of what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. That's especially true today where there's so much confusion. What's valuable and what's a lot less valuable? And what's even worthless? What our life priorities ought to be, okay? And friends, we know this. Actions speak louder than words. And so as parents, we have to be challenged by saying, okay, what am I modeling before my children? What's the legacy that I'm going to pass on to my sons, to our sons and our daughters? It is also true that unless we, in a sense, walk the talk, nothing we really say will matter in the long run. But having said that, our words do matter, and our words are very, very important. Words matter. Dads must train and offer correction to their sons and daughters. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Chapter later, Proverbs 23:13-14, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Proof of that is Stephen. Punish them with the rod and save their soul from death. You know what I see a lot of today? I see a lot of parental abuse, but it's not because they're using corporal punishments, because they're not using it at all. They're using passive parenting and hoping that their kids will somehow raise themselves. And it's a serious problem in our society. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your children and they will give you peace. They will bring delight to your soul. Our words are important. Our actions are important. What we model is important. We need to teach our children to respect proper authority. So what is proper authority in the home? Fathers and mothers, parents. Mm-hmm. What's proper authority in the church? Pastors and leaders, the elders. What's proper authority in the schools? Principals, teachers. What's proper authority in our society? Government officials and the police. I praise God for the police. I don't believe in defunding the police. We need the police. Since the defunding the police movement of the last 2 years, crime has more than doubled. It's almost predictable. And government officials, that's a hard one today. Because I'll be honest with you, many of our government officials aren't doing a very good job today leading. But nevertheless, that's for another sermon. Nevertheless, we owe them our honor and our respect, and we should pray for them because they're the proper authority. Even when they're doing a poor job, which I think for the most part these days they are. I do praise God for this. God will hold them accountable. They're going to have to give an account for every one of their insane policies and all their corruption. I praise God. Judgment's coming. But honoring one's parents and the family is foundational for wise living. That's where you learn. First in the family and then as you broaden out to the church and the school and the society. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, I love it. Paul reminds the Ephesians and us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate or frustrate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. With this in mind, children need to hear specific approval from their parents, especially their dads. Proverbs 18:21 is something I think we should all memorize, a verse we should all memorize. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it, those who love the power of the tongue will eat its fruit. So we want to make sure that we learn to bless our children and affirm them in a healthy way, in a biblical way. And we need to avoid cursing our children. James warns us. James 3:10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. James also warns us of the dangers of the tongue. He says the tongue can be like a destructive fire out of control. And it's so true. There's a man named Bill Glass who Beth's sister spends a lot of time with in prison ministry. Beth's sister is a professional basketball handler, and she would go into the prisons with Bill Glass, an amazing ministry. Bill Glass would ask when he would go into the prisoners, there might be 250 or 300 inmates there, and he would say, by show of hands, how many of you had your father's blessing? And do you know how many hands would go up? No hands would go up. No hands would go up. And then he would ask a second question. He said, how many of you here today heard your father say, you were no good and you'd probably end up in prison someday? 95% of the hands go up. 95% of the hands go up. The power of our words have a life all their own. And so it's so important we learn to bless and affirm rather than condemn and rather than curse our children. It's so important to God, our Heavenly Father, that this is the instruction he gave to the priests and Levites. He said, the Lord said to Moses, this is Numbers 6, 22 through 26, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, the priests, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace. It's like, that never gets old. We need to hear it on a regular basis. And so the priests were instructed to do that every time there was worship. Don't leave it to chance. And then there's this ancient practice, what the Bible calls the blessing. That's the approval, the words of affirmation from your father to the son or the daughter. And I believe that many people spend a lifetime searching for this kind of acceptance, and many times not finding it. We catch a glimpse of it. Abraham had given his blessing to Isaac. Now it was time for Isaac to give his blessing to Jacob and Esau. And now we're going to look at Genesis 27. When Isaac was old, and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son. Here I am, he answered. Isaac said, I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die. Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt the game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of Yahweh the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing. Literally, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies. What's going on here? Yeah, deceit, I heard it. Deception. That's right. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, but my brother Esau is a hairy man, while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him. Do you notice that his concern is about not that he's going to be deceiving him, but that he might get caught. I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. His mother said to him, my son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me. Now notice this. The blessing is so valued that Jacob is willing to risk getting cursed instead of blessed in order to get that blessing. So valued. So is Rebekah. So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, Jacob did, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Verse 15, then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son, Jacob, the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, my father. Yes, my son, Isaac answered. Who is it? What do you think is going on in Jacob's mind right now? Who is it? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. So interesting, isn't it? You begin to notice a pattern here. How when you decide, you kind of come up with a plan, and it's deceptive. It always leads to sin, which leads to further sin. You know, notice the lying that's going on here. I'm Esau, your firstborn. Isaac said to his son, verse 20, how did you find it so quickly, my son? The answer, Yahweh, the Lord, your God, gave me success. Now we're bringing God into the lie. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not. At this point, I think he's sort of terrified. He moves closer. Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, ah, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. Are you really my son Esau? He asked. I am, he replied. Now this is about the third time he's lied. One lie will cause you to cover up with another lie. And the sin and the deception just keeps growing. That's the nature of sin. Then Isaac said, my son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing. Jacob brought it to him and he ate. And he brought some wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. So Jacob went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. Now, that may sound strange to us, but Isaac is a shepherd. He's in the fields. It's not so unusual. He appreciates the aroma of nature, and that's Esau's clothes. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. Notice it's a material blessing. It's a blessing of wealth and prosperity. May nations serve you and peoples, plural, bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. And may the sons of your mother bow down to you. This is the blessing of position. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. This is the blessing of covenant favor, covenant protection. After Isaac finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. And then he said to him, my father, please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. What do you think's going on in Isaac's mind and heart right now? His father Isaac asked him, who are you? I am your son, he answered, your firstborn, Esau. Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him. And indeed, he will be blessed. Now notice this, friends. Once the blessing's given, even if it's been given under, you could say, less than honest circumstances, once it's been given, it has a life all its own. It's irrevocable. The blessing has been given, and Jacob shall have the blessing. And that's it. And fathers, we have to be careful what we say to our children, because we can't take back those words. They take a life on their own. You can't take them back. It's like, oh, I wish I could go back 5 minutes earlier and get control of my temper and not have said those words. Now, when we blow it, praise God, we can go to our children and we can say, would you please forgive me, my son? I, in a moment of weakness, I'm sorry for what I shared or the way I shared it. Would you please forgive me? And it's good if we can ask forgiveness. But it's better if we don't have to ask forgiveness in the first place because of our words. Because they carry a life of their own and you can't take them back. And this blessing is irrevocable. Both sons placed great value on receiving Isaac's blessing. So you notice, Esau, now Jacob, he's willing to put everything on the line to get the blessing, risk a curse to get the blessing. But Esau, he seeks it with bitter tears. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry. He said to his father, bless me, me too, my father. But Isaac said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? How many, any Jacobs here? Well, you know what? We share something because my name is James, and it's a derivative of Jacob. But Jacob, or Jacob, in Hebrew means he grasps the heel. In other words, he takes advantage of others. He deceives to get his way. Not a very nice meaning, but in Jesus, it's redeemed. I love the name Jacob. I just don't like what it means. So it's Esau. There's Esau. Isn't he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright. That's not really true. He sold his birthright for some stew. And now he's taken my blessing. Then Esau said, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? Now that's a good question. It's good that fathers bless their children, but do we only bless the firstborn? No. The Lord blessed us with seven children. We want to bless all seven children. Of course, you'd think there should be plenty of blessing left, right? It's a very good question. It's a legitimate question. But in this dysfunctional family, the answer is kind of sad. Isaac answered Esau, I've made him lord over you, and have made all his relatives his servants, and I've sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me, me too. Then Esau wept aloud. Bitter. Very sad. I want us to take a few minutes to look at the elements of what a blessing entails. How can we bless our children? Do any of you garden? Yeah, you know what? This is a new experience for me. In our condo in Hudsonville, we each get a little plot, and I'm loving the growing flowers. I'd grow vegetables, but it's against the condo rules. We can't do it. Can't be that practical. So flowers we'll have to do. But what do flowers need in order to thrive? Yep, sunlight, water, good soil, like a secure place for those roots to go down. Okay, all of it. Five elements at least. Good soil, air, water, sunlight, and a secure place so the roots can't be pulled out. So our children need at least five elements that we dads can provide them. First, meaningful touch. Do you notice? That's there. Jacob's father, Isaac, said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." Touch, appropriate affection, meaningful touch. Now, I did not grow up in a touchy-feely family. I'll be honest, probably some of you didn't either. My dad was very uncomfortable with hugs. I can remember going away on the mission field for the first time, spending 9 weeks in Calcutta, India, and I thought, how's this going to be? There we are at the airport, and my mother comes up and gives me a hug, and that felt good, and my dad, he reached out his... "Good to see you, son." And I thought, oh, that's too bad. So I just hugged him. Felt very uncomfortable. And then I hugged my brother, Mark. And Mark said, "Jim, people will think we're gay." If you knew my brother, Mark, you could really appreciate that. We weren't a huggy, touchy family. And it wasn't until I went to seminary on the East Coast, Gordon Conwell, and I had a roommate who had a big family, and sometimes I would go home for the weekend and catch a nice homemade meal. It was great. And they hugged. And they hugged me. And I thought, you know, that feels good. I like that. And I knew that when I married Beth, we were going to hug our children. Because it communicates so much. Touch is so important. There's a study at UCLA, and they found out that in order to maintain good health, we need to be touched 8 to 10 times a day. Wow. We're relational. We need to be touched. This is one of the reasons why the whole COVID-19 pandemic there was so much nonsense about social separation, and it's like, there's a lot going on there beyond a virus. But we're made to be relational. We need to be touched. Did you know that babies, if they're not touched, they're in an orphanage, they'll die. They've got to be caressed. They've got to be touched. Beth and I know a missionary who spent a good portion of her ministry with the RCA in Albania, going to orphanages. Susanna Dabney, she would go every day to the orphanages and spend an hour or two just hugging those children. That's a ministry. Beautiful ministry. Secondly, meaningful touch is the first. The second is a spoken word of blessing. Children need blessing. They need affirmation. We need to tell them, "I love you." Counselors will tell you they don't know. I know some of us will think, well, my kids know I love them. Ask the counselors. They don't know. So tell them. Be explicit. Say it a lot. Silence is one of the biggest enemies in the home. It really is. Thirdly, attaching high value to the one being blessed. That's essentially what Isaac was doing. "Ah, the smell of my sons, the smell of a field that Yahweh, the Lord, is blessed." And then he goes on and gives him great blessing, amazing blessing. Attaching high value to the one being blessed is important. Fourth, picturing a special future for them, okay? "May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations and peoples bow down to you. And may those who bless you be blessed and those who curse you be cursed." All of it. Special future. My best friend in high school was Jewish. And whenever I would get around Jewish parents, I noticed something. Jewish parents are really good at bragging about their children, almost obnoxiously. meet Reuben, the lawyer, and Benjamin, the doctor. Yeah, he's 6 and he's 4. But they picture a special future for their children. And it's beautiful. In contrast, there's other parents who, without knowing it, are cursing their children by their words and by their comments. Ah, he's just a useless, good-for-nothing teenager. He won't amount to anything. Probably end up in prison someday. Watch our words. Avoid cursing our children. Bless them. The fifth element is an active commitment to fulfilling the special future that we sense the Lord has for them. If you feel like your son or daughter has the potential to become a great pianist, invest in piano lessons. Do what you can to provide. Invest in your children. And friends, the greatest investment that we dads and moms can give is time. Invest time. Spend time with your children. Charles Francis Adams was the U.S. ambassador to Great Britain during the time of Abraham Lincoln's presidency. He was a very, very important man in a critical time in our nation's history. A very busy man, very important man. He would have been what the world would call a successful man. But he had lots of children. And he couldn't afford to spend very much time with his children, but he did make an effort. And that's good. So interesting that in Adam's diary, he writes, "Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted." However, his 8-year-old son, Brooks, wrote this in his diary, "Went fishing with my dad today. It was the most glorious day of my life." Don't underestimate what time means to our children. And don't underemphasize the influence that we have in our children's self-image, in their view of themselves and what they can accomplish, how they can love the Lord. I want to close with this thought. Some of you have been very blessed by your dads, which makes it a whole lot easier to model the love and the blessing that you want to pass on to your children. But some of us have been very hurt by our dads, very injured, very hurt. I know that my dad did love me, but my dad was not good at expressing love languages. He only knew one, which is providing for his family. And he did a really good job at that. But he didn't understand some of these other love languages and these other ways of expressing time. And he was a bit of a workaholic. I didn't see a lot of him growing up. And I realized when I would come home on home ministry and talk with my sister and with my brothers that all of us were missing something. And what we were missing is a sense of blessing. That approval from our dads, because none of us had gotten it. And I sensed it deeply. This is what I realized. You cannot give what you never received. And my dad had a terrible relationship with my grandfather. I never met my grandfather because he was gone well before I was born. My dad lost his dad when he was only 12 years old. But he always felt guilty because he didn't miss him. It was that bad. And I remember sitting around on Sunday afternoon meal, and both of the grandmas were there, grandmothers were there, and the church where I grew up had a Harrison Hall in it, named after my grandfather. So I'd ask, what was Grandpa like? And my grandma would give these glowing reports about 12 years as head of the deacons and did this and did that. And I thought, wow. I noticed my dad was always quiet. I said, well, Dad, what did you think of him? And he said, all I know is he hated me. He always favored my sister. And he didn't think anything of me. You can't give what you haven't received. And I thought, I want better for my children. And I went straight to the Lord. And I said, Lord, if I need to get a blessing from my father, I'll seek it. But I need a blessing from my heavenly father. And I want you to know that even if your father is already gone, he's already died, when you come into a relationship with Jesus, he puts us in his family. And we have God, our heavenly father, who's the perfect father. And we can receive the father's blessing directly from our heavenly father. So there's hope. And I want to encourage you with that. Because I feel that I was able to receive from my heavenly father and pass it on to my children. But I remember when I preached this message back in 2013, and my dad was dying of cancer, and he was going through chemo treatment, and he wasn't doing very well, and it didn't look very good. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to find a way to get a blessing. I'm going to ask him for a blessing before he dies. And I knew I was going home for the summer, and it'd probably be the last opportunity that I would have. And the summer went, and he was struggling, and he was in hospice care. And I remember 1 week before I left to return back to Bahrain. And I thought, have the courage, Jim. Just ask him for the blessing. And I did. And I praise God. He gave it. He was a little bit surprised. Of course I love you. Of course I'm proud of you. I didn't know it. I had disappointed him in a lot of major choices, like going into the ministry instead of becoming a doctor, going to the mission field and taking our grandkids away. I can understand that. I really can. It's not too late. If your father is alive, talk with him. But even if he's gone, you can get it directly from God, your heavenly Father, the perfect Father. And he wants you to experience the Father's blessing so that you can then break the curse in your family line and put yourself in the way of his blessing. Be able to bless your children with the blessings of the Lord. Amen. As we close, I want to challenge some of you. God may be calling some of you to be like spiritual dads. We're living in a society of spiritual orphans. And you can be a spiritual mentor for somebody who really lacks blessing and needs one. I want to encourage you to consider that before the Lord in prayer and not be afraid to step up and become a spiritual mentor to some young person or to some young adult or to a father with young children who's struggling to know how to raise the kids because they weren't raised with a biblical model. I challenge you towards that end. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for every brother and sister here today. We thank you, Lord, for your word, that your word is so revealing and there's so much we can learn from it. And it's so honest and it's so true. And it's revelation from your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that this tool called the blessing, that we would learn it, experience it, and be able to utilize it for our children, pass on the approval and the affirmation that our children need. And Lord, we thank you that you are a God who takes us out of curses and brings us into your blessings. And we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we would step into your blessing and receive blessing from you, that we can be a blessing for our families and for our children and for others in the body of Christ and for others in the society who desperately need your love. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.